When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You got 23 people watching. What the hell, people?
Jeez.
People sad. People so down sad. It's the Nuggets. It's still the Nuggets. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the DMVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go.
Eric, you vowed to pick up the vibes, man.
Let's go.
You vowed to pick them up.
What do you mean I vowed to?
In my heart, you vowed to them. You said, I will pick up the vibes.
Did I not? I just...
That was good. I didn't say you didn't. I'm just pointing out...
Let's go!
Nuggets on a little bit of a... They're in a hole. They've got to dig their way out of it. Three-game little losing streak, but it's not all hopeless. There's lots of stuff to kind of get to, and I actually feel like, guys, it was a calming game last night. You know, last night was one of those calm losses, not one of those manic losses.
Was that a moral victory last night?
It was not a moral victory.
Are you calling that a moral victory?
I'm not calling it a moral victory. I'm just saying there...
It goes loss,
yeah.
Calm loss, moral victory.
Win? Yeah, I think you're right. This is below moral victory for sure. But it's above manic loss.
Okay.
It's definitely above. Oh, we don't have a camera. What's going on there? There we are. Now we're on. Now we're back. Guys, we're presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DMVR when you sign up. And look at Harrison win today, fresh from the arena. I always like when we get your takes after a game when you're at the arena. It's like fresh new eyes to relive our misery.
My take is that it was also a calming loss.
Oh.
I'm also not going to call it a moral victory. I'm not going to go there. Calming loss.
Exactly. We do need to use... This is a new graphic, you know?
Yeah, like new idea for a graphic.
Fire sale is the worst.
All I know is that I
trade that, everybody.
Disappointing win? Is that above moral victory?
A disappointing win.
Yeah, disappointing win is like... It's like you beat the Rockets
by
110 to 108.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe
at
like,
home.
Maybe it's more like 135, 133 or something.
We're like, wow, whatever the score was that first game.
All I know is that last night I was in absolute misery the entire game. I was like, the Nuggets like just got... They got there and then they fell apart.
Yeah,
and
I wasn't very calm, actually. I feel like I was stressed.
I was the most...
During the game, you weren't.
Yeah. I was the most stressed I've been during a game in a very long time during that game.
It really was excruciating. I mean, part of this was they got hot, man. Like, sometimes teams get hot. Sometimes Dorian Finney-Smith makes six threes. Not often. In fact, probably never again.
I was too stressed for a December 6th game. Way too stressed.
Well, yeah, I know. We're streaking in the wrong direction.
In the way wrong direction. So, anyway, nonetheless, we have a little gap day here. Nuggets taking on the Portland Trailblazers on Thursday. I do want to remind people before we get started, we have our party bus Saturday. It's sold out. But there are tickets that you can purchase on thednvr.com. You can go to the events or the calendar, click on the takeover. You can buy bus tickets to $20. So if you already have your own ticket, you don't get to sit with the rest of us, but you can buy a bus ticket to that one because we got like 20 seats or something on the second. There's two buses for this.
Yeah, two buses. You'll get some beer. Probably a high five.
Also want to tell you guys, I think we might have some guests that night. I'm not going to say who they are because at the moment they just have to get over. You know, they're probably going to have to shower after the game and get over. So I'm not going to tell you anything about
Brendan
who they
Vogt.
Might be.
I usually don't shower after the game, so it's not going
to
be me.
So it might be a good night to be at the DMVR bar. And if you want to ride the party bus with everybody else and feel the vibes, get the free beer, $20. All right, guys. We have a mailbag out, but before we get to the mailbag, I wrote a couple mailbag questions myself.
You're asking yourself.
I love it. This is when you just juice the mailbag.
The first one is I juiced the mailbag.
This
for
is
sure.
a classic podcaster trick. Usually you don't tell people that you wrote them. You just insert
Adam
some of your
from
takes.
Broomfield
to
asked.
Juice the mailbag. Classic trick.
The first one I want to know is we're kind of joking. We're looking around about how many teams are down bad. And I got to say, off-season, we're going to talk about all off-season stories because it's off-season. And like, it also is part of what's fun about the NBA is the things that do they matter, do they not? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. One thing, though, that it's really hitting me in the face is that DeAndre Ayton, they didn't offer him a contract. They basically blamed him for every failure they've had for the last 2 years. And then finally, begrudgingly, they match an offer from Indiana. And he goes to Media Day and he says, I guess I'm happy to be here. Like, whatever. I got my money. Whatever. Like, it was so negative. Guess what? Suns are kicking ass. Then you go over to the Boston Celtics.
Well, there was also a
Jay Crowder
year plus investigation into ownership. they're selling the team.
You're right.
And Jay Crowder.
There's probably like lawsuits going on behind the scenes.
And you had a starting power forward who is like refusing to even show up for camp and all this. Those are like three distractions that I would call large. And it has had no impact on the Suns. Like, I can't imagine them having a better, like, maybe they're one game better if there's not that, but probably not.
Torrey Craig's holding the team together. He really is.
But then you go over to Boston and you look at, like, you know, they had a coaching scandal. They get this, and then they upgrade a coach who'd never had coached before, and here they are. So I asked this, Eric. One, do off stuff court, does it matter that much? Do we overestimate? Does that stuff not matter? And then as a follow-up question, does anything matter?
I'm going to take the second one first. Absolutely not. Nothing matters.
That is correct.
Life is pain. Everything's bad.
All seriousness, though?
I mean, truthfully, like when it comes to, I mean, the vibes coming into the season for the Denver Nuggets could not have been better.
That's so true.
They were the most glowing vibes that have ever been.
What about the precious Zeke Nagy hype?
They were golden. Right. Zeke Nagy was getting national hype, not just from us. Like, we were hearing it from other people. I mean,
Malone put a photo of him up as inspiration for the rest of the team.
Yeah. On the bench.
Zach Lowe was like riding Zeke Nagy into his like 20 most interesting players or whatever that column
nothing
is.
Nothing right.
I just know, like, you know, we watched The Last Dance. We've watched these things where, you know, you have a star player that's actually domineering and kind of like ruins the locker room from a vibe standpoint. But then they just go out, they're hard tempered and they play basketball. Like, does it matter? I don't know. It doesn't seem to. It really depends, obviously, on the situation. Like, your vibes can spin out of control if things are bad.
Totally,
like,
can.
You can, like, have a Nate Robinson or something that just absolutely derails the entire squad.
That was,
like,
also a bad squad, though.
Yes, but I'm saying, like, yeah, so me, like, I don't know. Like, does it matter if they like each other? Like, it probably matters for if you like the construct of the team and you want to see them stay together long term.
Right.
Does it matter if in the present, like, are they going to win because of their good vibes? Most assuredly not.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I even look at the Brooklyn Nets. Nobody had more off-court drama than them over the last couple of months.
But it derailed them.
A little bit, but now they're back to, like, the sixth seed in the East and playing decent basketball.
Yeah,
7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah, but they also lost James Harden when they didn't want to. Like, that's an example of where it did teeter out of control, but it's also the most volatile situation we've seen in 20 years.
Yeah. Kevin Durant demands his coach be fired or his GM be fired.
Also demands a trade.
Or demands a trade. None of that happens. He comes back. Then his coach gets fired, and he's good.
That's how it works.
Yeah. I just feel like players specifically are on just such a different plane than everybody else. They're just kind of operating in their own world.
Yeah.
And I really wonder if just they can block out all the outside noise because they're just like, they're just different people than you or me. This stuff would get to us. And I just wonder if they're just on a totally different level financially, just with their circle of people that are around them, with their daily life. They're just so different from us that I wonder if they can just go through it like it's nothing.
When you also wonder, you know, when you're human beings don't, like, they don't change unless they feel discomfort, right? Like, they just sort of like if things are going good, they're sort of like
homeostasis.
You know, yeah.
There's something about, like, if you feel upset, like, and you want to show out, like, you want to then take it out on the other team. I mean, I'm not advocating for bad vibes, but there might be something to that. Like,
oh, I like this.
When you get bullied at home, you go home and you're the bully at school, right? Like, you the players, like, only just need to respect each other. They don't have to like each other. They just have to respect in that they just have to know that, like, all right, this asshole's gonna hit the shot, I'll give it to him. Like, I don't like this guy, but, like,
right.
But yeah, it's funny. I mean, I don't even know where would you say the Nuggets vibes are at as a team right now?
I'd say, I mean, they're obviously not where they were at the beginning of the season. I don't think they're as bad as we think they are.
No, I don't think we think they're bad. This was one of my big takeaways on the pregame show from yesterday. I was like, you go to the shoot around, you're like, It's fine. Another day. They
could
around.
Be on a three-game winning streak right now. On a three-game losing streak. Like, that was the sense yesterday morning.
I will say this, though. Road-weary vibes. Like, I think they're just sick of this travel, and I think they're very excited for the next 2 weeks where they're basically, I mean, outside of right now being in Portland. But once they get back, they're home for a while. Till after Christmas.
But I think the vibes are fine. I mean, they're not trending upward, but it's not like a chaotic scene where everybody's yelling at each other and people are just giving the coaching staff the cold shoulder and just like pissed off in the corner and not talking to anyone.
We don't need a coach.
We're all coaches. No, man, the vibes are fine. Like, they're fine. Yeah, our vibes are down, but I feel like are kind of normal for December of an NBA season.
We're such suckers.
No, fan vibes are different. I always mention this. You're driving like over I-70 through the Eisenhower Tunnel and you're driving, it's a snowstorm. It's tense, but you're in control. You could feel the brake. You kind of know this.
When you're in the back seat.
If you're in the back seat, you're like, bro, slow down, man. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you sure?
We're not even in the back seat. We're like in a boat that's being towed in the back.
We're just whipping around.
No control of any kind. We're just like all over the place.
We can't even talk to them. Like we're screaming.
At a certain point, they look back. They're like, what the hell's going on back there? Like, we're fine. Like,
that's so true. That's exactly the fan experience. I will say, I do think that we probably overestimate. That's one of the lessons we learn here is you can overestimate how much these things happen, but there's some limits to this. Why is DeMarcus Cousins not on the Nuggets? Likely because he was too volatile or perceived to be too volatile to bring back, even though he's a positive. But I ask, he was volatile, but is that because he was brought volatility to Michael Malone? Meaning like, oh, he spins out of control, blows back on Michael Malone. Was it volatility on the front office? If it's Bill Ayers out of control and a guy demands a trade, front office, like what the hell? Or is it volatility like, oh, this might disrupt the team? Maybe that's a little bit more the first two than it is the last two. But I don't know. I just wonder. Maybe we overestimate that. And it's like, hey, Boogie's going to fight with guys.
I mean, Draymond Green punched Jordan Poole in the face. That's
a great point.
2 months ago. And
with all of his weight.
They're fine.
I mean, they're probably not fine.
I bet that they don't.
They're fine
like
in an NBA
other.
Sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. So I do wonder that. And when you hear the like, hey, there's a reason DeMarcus Cousins, this is us talking. I'm like impersonating ourselves. Hey, there's a reason DeMarcus Cousins isn't on a roster. That reason might be more because the person that would bring him on would assume the risk him personally.
Right.
And that's why somebody doesn't want to do it, not because the team has the high risk.
Maybe they just like don't like his agent. Well, you know what I mean? Like,
well, sure. I don't think it would be in this instance, but anyway, moving on. Suns Celtics are crushing it. It's crazy. The other question I wanted to ask in this first segment before we get to the mailbag is: we do this every now and then, but just kind of an updated fit ranking. And actually, maybe we'll do this first.
Fit check.
Maybe we'll actually. I'll ask this Rate question first, and maybe we'll see where the conversation goes. But do you have the one from Bronco Squatch Jake Coyne ready there? He asked, Bones, MPJ, Gordon, and Jamal are all for sure under contract through at least the end of the 2024-25 season. Bones, MPJ, Gordon, Jamal. How many of those four guys do you think are still on the Nuggets by the time the 25 playoffs come around? So 2 seasons from now, those four guys.
Bones, MPJ, Jamal.
Gordon.
Aaron Gordon.
Gordon.
2 playoff runs from now. It's a great question.
I will say 2 out of 4.
You think?
I feel like that's the safe answer.
The Nuggets aren't they don't trade their big players.
Tim Conley's Nuggets don't.
Great point. That's a great point. I guess we don't know the philosophy of Calvin Booth. He does seem like more willing to make deals and acquire players. Like, it's an interesting question. He didn't draft any of those players, did he?
He was part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was here for Michael Porter. I actually don't think he was.
I mean, I don't get the sense that like he drafted Bones. I think Tim Connelly drafted Bones.
I don't. Yeah. But again, don't read too much into that statement.
Oh,
but, yeah.
Man. The only one I feel like really uncomfortable with is MPJ because I just don't know if his physical, you know what I mean? I don't feel confident that he's going to be a warrior for a Nugget warrior for the next couple years. Like Bones, does the front office look at Bones as an asset that they can trade? I mean, he's such a up and comer. Like Bones is on the rise for the Nuggets. He's been the last three. I mean, it's funny. Like the vibes have changed for everybody the last 3 games. I mean, you know, Bones gets benched and we don't know what he's doing. He's playing out of control, but like he's been amazing this season.
He's also shooting 44% on 6.5 threes. I'm telling you, the Bones.
He also was the second leading scorer last night.
The Bones discourse to me is a little crazy, man. Like, I don't think he was great last night when you factor in all of it. But like some people were like, can't win with Bones or this or that.
People
I'm like, guys,
blaming him for the loss.
It's like insane to me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There was a lot of people that were like blaming him. And look, his defense was really bad. But guess what? Everyone else's offense was really bad. Sometimes you have to like, we overweigh certain parts of this or that. And like his offense this year has been incredible. But I will say this. Aaron Gordon, to me, continues to get better as a player and better as a fit next to Jokic. To me, I would be shocked if he was not on the team for the length of his contract. The only scenario would be a painful trade where it was like, you know, you got a Giannis or something like that. And it's like, well, we're going to have to do it now. We found a player that's better than AG,
right.
Superstar, and you bring him in. So I think he's in. Murray, I think, very likely to be in. I mean, he's not. We got to talk more about Murray later on because, like, it's 2 years. We're coming up on 2 years now. It's like, it's time, man. You really want to start to see the progress there, and the team needs him to be good. I still think it's likely to be him, although not certain that he'll be on the roster. Bones and MPJ, to me, almost seem more likely than not. When we're talking about the third playoff run, so two more, I don't think that they're, like, 1 foot out the door by any means. But Bones, at that point, you're committing to a long-term deal for him. Like, he's going to be done with his rookie-scale contract coming out of that. Is he the guy of the future? Is he the next superstar? Probably not. So I would be almost surprised if he was still on the roster 3 seasons from now. And then Michael Porter, same thing. Like, I always got the sense that he was the first guy out of all of the main pieces. So yeah. To me, I would also say 2, but I almost feel like it's more likely 1 than it is 3.
Yeah, I think 2 is probably the safe answer. But like you were saying, D-Line, with regards to Calvin Boots philosophy on this type of thing, I feel like I do have a good sense for it. And I think Calvin Boots philosophy is, I don't think he's tied to these players the same way Tim Conley was.
Yeah.
And I think he will be way more willing than Tim Conley was to make that trade. If it's clear that there is a trade to be made that elevates this team,
like, which is funny. Tim Conley first act as the Timberwolves is to make the most insane trade the world's ever seen.
Why would he make that trade when he never wanted to in Denver?
Why? I know, interesting one. I do think though there's something to the like family dynamic. It probably is more important and also plays better early on in a rebuild than it does at the contention stage.
Oh, for sure.
And so I think there's naturally it's time to be a little bit more, hey man, we're trying to get it done. It's all business. Don't take it personal at this stage type of thing. I just, when you look at it, man, we're learning every year. You learn a little bit more about what is it that the Nuggets need. And one of the things that I think they definitely, I mean, we all knew it was going to be defense. I think we're all increasing the degree to which you probably think the Nuggets need that. Like, they need a lot of defense around. But I think the other part is length. And Aaron Gordon checks both boxes. Jamal Murray to a certain extent, because he is 6'5". He's not playing great defense right now, but he is a big guard. He's a really
6'5".
He's huge. He's a huge point guard. You know, 6'5 is like in the 85th percentile for point guards probably. So I do think that there's something to him being more likely. Plus, we've seen the highs with him. I know it's not seeing it right now, but we've seen the highs.
I know. That's the nice thing about Jamal Murray is that you have a benchmark. Right. It's not just like, I think he can be pretty good someday. Like, it's like, no, we've seen it. Like,
I will say, I hope Michael Porter comes back. We'll get to this later, but I hope he comes back and the defense fixes. It would be the best story if Michael Porter's length is just like, oh yeah, it's really tying everything together.
But I mean, if the Nuggets go on and win a championship this season, I feel like the answer in one world is 3 or 4.
Yeah, it goes up.
That's the scenario I'm hoping for. Like, wouldn't it be great though if all 4 of those guys were here?
Yes, I mean, that's the brightest timeline
for that season.
Of course, like
if that happens, we might have won back-to-back championships. You
definitely
know?
If you can have, this is a cake and eat it too scenario, that you can have the homegrown guys, the good feeling squad that then also wins the championship. You never really get that. The Warriors got it.
Yeah, they got
but
it.
They, that's what we're shooting for.
And then they got Kevin Durant, and it was 2 years later. It's like a lot of that, like, once you hit that like top level of the competition and top level of the NBA, like, everything changes. Like, we're seeing this now with CU. Like, all of a sudden, like, the spotlight shines on and you're like, oh man, this is not the same that it was.
Also, what my favorite fan fiction, you know, my favorite hope for the season was that Bones would unlock MPJ running the second unit and him staggering. And we haven't had an opportunity yet.
No. Nope.
Right. It's still on the table, which is a good thing.
All the combos, that's the one we've seen the least of.
So I still have a lot of confidence in that combo, too.
And then it changes the whole equation to where maybe you actually have the perfect recipe and Bones becomes the Jordan Poole of the group, which is to say he actually bridges.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And then it's like, oh, perfect. So
and we have the second young core.
The brightest timeline.
Remember the second young core?
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm actually a little mad at Nuggets fans for how hard they've been on Bones Highland. Like, there's always a scapegoat. And I'm telling you guys, it's not Bones. Like, how could you be hard on Bones Highland? He has his issues, but like, I'm telling you, so does everybody. Like, everybody has their issues right now, man.
Yep.
So, and he is by far, you take for granted the volume of threes he can get off and the percentage that he's shooting. And then also, I think you take for granted how much that second unit has looked bad with every configuration of everyone right now. Like, to think that, oh, when he's out there, they just struggle in different ways when he's out there. But it's not like they're struggling as opposed to not struggling. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to get to a lot of these mailbag questions, a lot of really good ones.
How many did you write?
You know, we're going to see a lot.
Was it like a mail baggie and then you filled it and became a mail bag, like full of... like 10 what? Questions.
Sounded
it was just like a tiny little bag. Like you buy
you
it on the
from
street.
From the snack bag to the freezer you
had like
bag.
You had like an eighth of questions. And now you have a...
guys, it's that time of year. Everyone's excited about the gifts, the holiday spirit. But what about basketball? When I throw down on the NBA action, it's got to be with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NBA team to win their game. Get $150 in free bets if they do. Plus, everybody can combine multiple bets for a bigger payout with DraftKings same-game parlays. The more bets you make, look, the bigger your payout. It's as easy as that.
What's the problem?
Also, DraftKings Sportsbook, it's live in Maryland, so... you're listening in Maryland,
really?
You can bet on sports with DraftKings Sportsbook. Now it's live in your state. Download the app now. Get in on the holiday hoops action. Sign up with code DNVR. Place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win their game. Get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also got to shout out our friends at Pins and Aces. Look, if you're wearing Pins and Aces gear, like our guys at Big Drive Energy, Spence and Mitch, they're always rocking Pins and Aces gear. They look great. They get compliments on and off the course. They are the official golf apparel partner, Pins and Aces is, of DNVR. So check them out. They're family owned. They're based right here in Colorado, pinsandaces.com. Use code DNVR to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. They've got polos, hats, golf bags, the beer sleeve that holds 7 beers in your golf bag and keeps them cold the entire round. Pinsandaces.com, code DNVR to get 15% off your first order and shipping.
Pins and Aces. All right, segment two. Kale. Reach deep inside that mailbag. Not that mail's baggy. Reach deep inside there.
Ignore the baggy.
Get in there.
Who wants to read these off? Who has a great voice for reading? Is it me?
This is from Matthew Kimura. Are you buying that the Nuggets defense can at least be average given players are saying that the communication isn't there yet but will get better?
Are you buying that Nuggets defense can be at least average?
I mean, I don't get why the communication isn't there yet after 24, 25 games. That's not a valid excuse, in my opinion.
I mean, some of it is that it's different guys all the time. Like the lineups are constantly changing. They don't really know, and it's not only just the guys. It's like the type of players are changing. You know, it's like you said, you have a really tall, lanky guy in MPJ that then gets swapped out for Bruce Brown, who's much smaller, plays a different style of basketball. I mean, I think that there's something to... I still believe in the Nuggets being able to be defensively stout. Like, we've seen it. We've seen it them lock down when they need to early in the season. We saw them, like, turn up at points. Like, right now it just feels, like, kind of hapless and weird. It does feel like guys out of position, guys being lazy. And I imagine a lot of it is, like, first off, we're, you know, a month and a half in or whatever to the NBA season, and it's a slog. And for some reason, NBA players hate playing basketball. They're like not big fans of actually playing basketball.
Yeah, like imagine if we hated coming on this podcast.
Well, dude, you know how goddamn miserable I am right now. But look at me. I mean, I'm out here. You know, I'm a little bit of a defensive liability at the moment. That's true. But I think I still believe in these players. Like, I still have seen it. I do believe it's there. I just think that they need some consistency. They just haven't had consistency from a personnel standpoint in a while.
Every team has struggled with consistency, though.
Every team has guys going in and out of the rotation. Every team has injuries.
Well, I would say that the Nuggets are such that they actually kind of need everything to be perfect to work for them. Like, I just think that they have very obvious weaknesses on defense, and they need conditions to be perfect for them to perform. And if they're not, then they won't be. You know, if they don't have their player, I think. I mean, I think that they can be, but it does need to be a perfect, like, situation.
The reason I think they can and should be able to have like a league average defense because they have the defenders to do it. It's just that they've been so, so bad this season defensively. I mean, the only teams they're better than defensively are like tanking and not even trying on defense.
Right.
Like, that's how bad the Nuggets defensive numbers are this season. I just feel like there needs to be a significant change. Like, little tweaks here and there, I don't think are going to suddenly make them the defense that we came into the season thinking that they could be. I just feel like at this point, with how bad they've been through 24 games, it's going to take more than just like, oh, let's play Christian Brown, or like, oh, let's just, you know, let's play Bruce Brown more. I honestly think
homestand is going to help. Like, if you ask me tonight aside, because Portland could really torch Denver tonight, but after that, if you ask me, like, from then until Christmas, where will the Nuggets rank in defensive rating? I'll bet you they're top 10 in that stretch. And I know that's
top 10.
In that stretch. Mm-hmm. Again, because 8 of 9 will be at home, I believe, over that stretch. And that just gives you an opportunity to rest, to practice, to do film studies, and just to be more on a schedule. And I have a feeling that we're going to see the benefits of that. And by the way, also to just condition, I know I've been on this for a little bit. It's funny. You know another thought I had? The Nuggets probably have no altitude advantage.
Right.
They're not acclimated.
Right. It's true.
That's so
actually
true.
This is the thing this is the unspoken part about if you want to hate on Denver for whatever advantages it has, like, no one ever then talks about the fact that our athletes are then also adversely affected when they go out of the altitude to a different area.
Well, it's rare that they're out this much, because I think if you're back for like 10, 11 days or something, like, you can get acclimated to it over time.
Yeah, it takes time for sure.
But the Nuggets have been home for like 4 days max at any point this season. So they're about to be back for quite a bit.
I'm curious, like, explain this to me a little bit. Like, how much of the Nuggets struggles do you think are schematic, and how much of them are personnel? How much do you think it's you know, like the combination of players? Like, I just don't know enough about this. To me, it seems like if you have good defenders and they are able to stay in front of their player, I mean, there's obviously a lot of switching and things that are more strategic than just D-ing up your guy. Like,
I've said this has been my thing the whole year. I think they are more points of emphasis than anything else, because the schematic stuff is like teams run schematic stuff. How where's your attention to detail level? But I do think, and this is George Carl, this is like me talking to George Carl, there was a lot of coming into the game. You look at a matchup and you say, okay, here's the three items we need to work on. Like, we're playing our schedule, we're playing our thing. Maybe we have a tweak here or there, but tonight it's all about this. It's all about this. It's all about this. Tonight, it's all about the spacing. Make sure you guys are in this spot, in this spot, in this spot. And this is why when I asked Malone, again, I don't want to be too heavy-handed on this because I could be wrong on this, but when I asked Malone about, hey, playing fast and this or that, and it was clearly not a thing he cares about or thinks about, I just wonder, would another coach care about that? When you ask about offensive rebounding, for all these years, you were the number one offensive rebounding, a conscious decision now to be a better transition defense team. Is that a universal? Is that a point of emphasis that's correct? Is there another coach that might say, for example, a team on a second night of a back-to-back in Denver who already doesn't like to play fast anyway, they like to walk it up, is that not a night where you say, hey, let's crash the offensive glass here because there's an opportunity? So I think it has more to do with what are you emphasizing? And I think with Michael Malone, like anybody else, he has things that he prioritizes more than anyone else, sometimes rightfully, sometimes probably not rightfully.
Yeah.
That would be good. My answer. All right, what else we got? I don't think the Nuggets can be great defensively, guys, by the way. I don't think they can.
But they
can
be fine.
But they
can
be good.
Right?
Yeah, they can be fine.
You even think good.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could probably be like 12th, maybe 10th.
If they were 12th, let's plan the parade.
I think they could maybe be 10th or something like that, but I do not think they can be top five. And does that mean can they win a championship? They got to be so much better offensively than what they've been.
So Justin Knapp asks, what a defensive change look like if they were to change schemes or alter coaching responsibilities? I guess we just kind of talked about that a little bit. Like, what could they change from a schematic standpoint? Or how could they alter coaching responsibilities? Like, maybe take some responsibility away from Ryan Saunders. Like, is that something that actually matters? Like,
Yeah, those things are just so tough to know. I mean, like, pick and roll coverage. So last
Denver's
night,
doing everything though.
Last night, I feel like they were playing at the level a lot, though.
Well, it's very unique because that's a five-out system. Again, this is why I don't like the conversation about schemes, especially when you talk about pick and roll. As a lot of it is, what is the other team going to try to do, mm-hmm. and then let's adjust to that. In Dallas, they run pick and pop almost exclusively.
Right.
They're playing five out, and that guy's not rolling. So what Denver was doing was not playing at the level. They were blitzing it. They were trying to trap, get the ball out of Luka's hands, but it's also Spencer Dinwiddie, and then you have to rotate on the backside. And Denver has actually this year had some interesting ways of rotating, and I think they've done a decent job. I think one of the interesting things, and again, Nekias Duncan had a good video example of this. I can't remember, Basketball News or something, wherever he writes. He had a little Nuggets breakdown. One of the things is to do that scheme, you need length because it's all about running out at the buzz. The ball reverses,
covering ground
and contesting shots. And if you're Faku and you're covering ground and then jumping out, there's nothing. But if you're Michael Porter,
maybe you're actually
getting a handout or bull ball.
Yeah.
So just trying to light some gasoline on the comment section. Is that what you're trying to do?
For RJ Hampton.
So I think it's stuff like that. I will say this. The Nuggets are trying more things than usual this year. I mean, they're playing more zone than ever before.
Yeah.
They're mixing in their coverage. And I suspect the reason that they play drop schemes has more to do with, one, diversity. Just mix up your cut. You run the same thing every time. It can get monotonous. So mixing it up. And then two, to save Yoke.
That's the reason I think they run
drop. Absolutely.
Because I think they played at the level. When was it? Like last year or 2 years ago when he got way too tired. Yeah. And then they switched back to drop. But last night, I felt like probably because of the scheme Dallas played and how the Nuggets played defensively, I felt like they were moving on defense more last night than they were, you know, in those two losses in Atlanta and New Orleans. Like, there was more activity defensively last night. Like, they were covering more ground, I thought.
There was a lot of effort. There was a lot of
effort. There was the right amount of effort. Yeah, they did.
And probably the right personnel, to be honest with you. I really do think that, I know everybody kind of agrees that Christian Brown was, but I thought even Zeke Nagy was good last night and a good piece of the defensive unit.
Zeke Nagy is a good defender.
Yeah, he's a good defender. And he has size and length, and he actually moves, not always great, but he moves usually pretty great on the perimeter. The last thing I will say is all of these things are connected, and the big kick that I am on, and I honestly grow more convinced of it every game I watch of this team, you have to wear, part of defense is the other team rested and comfortable when they're bringing the ball up the court? And right now, I think Denver's opponents are so extremely rested that they're putting their feet up. And so part of this is why I'm so big about Jamal probably should get the ball up the court quicker. The Nuggets should not play faster because I do think they're a half-court team. But you should at least not give the other team opportunities to rest ever. And you got to be in better shape to do that. I don't think the Nuggets are in shape enough to do that just yet. But you also have to be more disciplined to do that. And I think that if you saw that, I bet you their defensive numbers would increase because teams would just be too exhausted to punish them.
Yeah, and I mean, last night was a classic example. Like, Mavs on a second night of a back-to-back.
Oh, they were fine.
They coasted, it felt like.
They coasted, man.
Like, Luka was comfortable the whole game. You
so
know?
Comfortable.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that, like, oh, man, they look gassed.
Yeah, look at Luka. Yeah, Luka's not the most conditioned athlete, by the way. And for him to be on a second night of a road back-to-back and be comfortable.
Sucking on a hookah before and after that game, he was fine.
He at halftime, he was like, I guess I can hookah this game. This is easy, man.
I can't
unbelievable.
Hookah. Bring it in.
What else we got, Kale? Reach into that mailbag. Oh, yeah, good luck reading this one, D-Line.
Okay, I'll wait till it shows up on my screen here.
I think it says November in Denmark with graphic. It says Nuggets offense was bad last three games. I disagree. Nuggets offense was 117 last night. That's like the best in the NBA if that was an average. Nuggets offense hasn't been red hot like we've seen in years past. You should be able to win like that. Nuggets defense is tied to their offense, meaning they defend as top 10 defense when they make their shots. And they are last by a wide margin when they miss. Bad offense generates bad defense. Should our focus be on the defensive gains from a boosted offense? Again, I don't. I think my point here is I think it has as much to do with how much is the opponent working as it is to do you score or not. Because yeah. I think there's ways that you can even be off, but another team is still exhausted. I will say I am kicking around this one theory. I think I brought this up yesterday. I do wonder if Denver is more so than most teams mismatched in transition. One, they have a more traditional lineup, less switchy just inherently. But two, they generate switches every time down court. So when you miss, that means you're sprinting back in a cross match. So I just wonder, I don't know, just a theory I have, if Denver is more vulnerable to transition defense, not even transition scores, but just possessions following a miss mm-hmm. because you're naturally mismatched. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
And they've also just been like, that probably goes with your point, so bad in transition defense. And they've turned it over so much over these last couple games.
Yeah.
Where just like their transition defense is awful. Just like if they turn it over, it's probably going to be points for the other team.
Man, there's nothing more painful than like when Jamal takes a 3-point shot, misses it, and then it's just an immediately a run out for the other squad. Like they just
yeah.
throw it past him.
A lot of Hubies. Remember when we were talking about Hubies? Yeah.
A lot of those. We haven't actually mentioned him. I mean, you think he's just like, I'm done counting?
We haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, he's just like, well, that didn't work.
Yeah, I ran out of paper.
Ran out of paper for it. We have time for another one, Kel.
Oh. Let's see. This one is from Kim Brand, and it says, do you think that benching MPJ in crunch time when he is healthy
and not trusting him
more in those instances is the right decision? Do you think it could become a problem in the playoffs if he hasn't gotten the opportunity to become better, but they need offense in the crunch?
I love this one. This is a great question. I have an answer, but I want you guys to go first.
This is what it is to watch MPJ as a basketball player. It's just like constantly like questions about his confidence, whether or not he can be built up. Is Malone using him correctly? Is he hindering him? Like, is he, yeah, like, and I don't think it really comes down to, I don't know, man. I'm like of two minds on this because MPJ, is incredible when it doesn't matter. And then like during the playoffs, like he's shrunk so much, and when we were reliant on him solely, it was a disaster. And I don't know if that just like builds up from playing time. Maybe it does. Like, I don't really know what to make of that. For me, it's like you just got like this guy's a shooter. He's just got to be a shooter. I don't know that like putting him in positions where he's going to be a defensive liability. Like we watched when he was getting hunted by the other team, mm-hmm. and it actually hurt his confidence more than it helped him being in there. With the ability to take shots that would have been big. Like I don't know, man. I don't think it's wrong. Like I just think that MPJ is sort of like used to this now. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, man. I'm kind of trending towards the side of, yeah, let's play him in crunch time. Because there's nothing that's going to build his confidence defensively more than being out there
unless he's getting torched in a close
game where he can just like say, yeah, I did it. Right. Like I closed the game on defense and like Michael Malone trusted me and they didn't sub in Bruce Brown for me or somebody else for me. So, I mean, I think in the right game, it might be a great idea to like get him out there and try to close with him just because I feel like it could raise his confidence so much. And I feel like that's a reason why he just isn't maybe getting to the level we hope he would defensively. I don't think he like has the confidence in himself sometimes on that end.
Which is crazy. It's crazy to think like that guy could lack from confidence, but it's true. We watch it.
But also, man, like if we just look at raw defensive ratings, the Brown lineup with the closers, it's at 114.4 on the season. And that number's kind of held throughout. It's not like it's in a bad or good stretch.
Yeah.
It's kind of been that
and
all
we've
year.
We've also realized that since Michael Porter Jr. has been out, he's not the problem defensively.
Right.
And he's far from it.
Right. Yeah. And here's furthermore, here's where I would get at. I would play him. To me, I mean, it's still matchup dependent to a certain extent. Yeah. Like same, you know, with just about anybody. But I would still think that there's something to the Nuggets playing him in his minutes and trying to establish that identity, because I should say I'm less confident than ever that Bruce Brown is the solve for the Nuggets defensively in a playoff series. That's like, hey, if Michael Porter's getting hunted, then you just put Bruce Brown in there. Bruce Brown is a good player, but he's not big enough to guard most small forwards, and I don't think he's big enough to be just another... Like, if you go Murray, KCP, Brown, you're actually below average 1-2-3, which is weird because KCP and Murray are above average 1-2, but just adding Bruce in aggregate makes you smaller, whereas if you have MPJ there, you know, he's 6'10", that you're actually a tall team at that point, and you and the height might be as important as the execution and the defensive upside individually. It might be aggregate height has a bigger impact, and maybe that's why we're seeing the numbers here with MPJ. That being said... He needs to get way better too.
He and rebounding too. He's a great rebounder.
That's just it. Like he's gotta. He this is like both sides need to come to the table on this one. Like you can't just like be like, well, we need to get him more confidence. It's like, well, like play confidently. Like earn that spot. Like I think everybody wants to, him to be there, but I don't think you can just be like, well, we're doing this so that you know in the end, because it's not like he's not a rookie.
Right.
You know, it's not like this is his first opportunity to play closing minutes. He was the man for a while. And in the playoffs, we saw him absolutely like be a full liability to this team and not make any progress. But you're right, Adam. He just has like physical tools that can't be denied. And MPJ just needs just more often than not when we're talking about him. It's like, dude, you just got to step up. Like, what is your problem here? Like,
yeah. Hopefully when he comes back, we'll see even more of that. Because we're in the worst world with Michael Porter in that he was really good this year. He was really bad for like three games when everyone else was sick and he couldn't carry him. And
when he was also probably hurt.
And he was also probably hurt from his heel. And everybody's remembering that. MPJ was off to a good, very, very good start.
Incredible start.
Very encouraging start. And I want to remember that guy more than the guy that he was the last three games before going down with injury. And I hope we see it again.
Yeah, it's like remembering MPJ last season. It was like, man, he couldn't even make a dunk.
That wasn't MPJ. I'm telling you, MPJ, we're like a little clouded about what he actually was. We're almost swinging too hard in the like negative side of the direction for him, I feel. So hopefully he gets back. And I do think he is, in a weird way, a bit of a winner of this three-game losing streak.
Oh, for
because
sure.
Because if you remember... It wasn't long ago that Michael Malone was doing. We seemed to play really well without him. No longer true, Michael Malone. Nuggets struggling pretty mightily without him at the moment. Take a break.
Guys, Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. It's the holiday season. Make sure to pick up some of that Christmas ale from Breck Brew. If you don't know where to get it, you can check out the Breck Brew beer locator on their website. That will tell you where to get Breck Brew closest to you. Breckbrew.com is where you can find that. Need a Christmas gift idea or a Hanukkah gift idea?
Ooh,
enter Hanukkah your gift. Favorite beer lover into Breck's Nice List sweepstakes at Breckbrew.com. Search Nice List. There's a link in the description on YouTube and on, if you're listening to this as a podcast, little holiday idea for a loved one.
Oh. You know what? Friday.
What's that?
Private DNVR event at the bar?
Yeah.
Opportunity for you to pony keg it up.
I don't know if that's the time and the
that's
place
the
for
time.
That.
That's, Eric, is that the time for him to drink an entire pony keg?
I don't know if that's the time and place.
I would say if not that time, there is
no time. There is no time. That's the time. Uber home.
Although,
you're
to be
good.
Fair, to be fair to Harrison, I think that there actually might just be no time.
There might be no time.
I think there will be a time.
He did make a very bold proclamation about being able to drink a pony keg. You know what? I need to see this.
The Christmas Ale from Breckenridge Brewery, Breck Brew, the official beer of DNVR. Pick some up today. Also, if you need to pick up sporting event tickets, concert tickets, shows, whatever you want to see this year, check out the Game Time app. If you're purchasing tickets, use the link in our description. It's on the YouTube description. If you're listening to this as a podcast, it's there as well. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site out there. It makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. They've got these great last-minute price drops where, you know, you can sit courtside behind home plate, floor seats at a concert for way less money than you thought. So if you love us here at DNVR, you'll love Game Time. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app. Use our link and score the best deals to seats to all your favorite events.
Alrighty, back here, third segment. Don't forget about that party bus this weekend. And again, might have some special guests in the
house.
Dude,
this is the vibes palate cleanser that I require. It's just getting down with the homies, going to see the Nuggets.
Oh, I know.
Pressing
we
the flesh.
Yeah. I actually think
kissing
what if the season turns around?
I think it's going. That's it's what going I was gonna to say. Is I actually think that is a turnaround moment for the Nuggets. So.
Dude, I can't wait to see every one of you in the chat on the bus, and I'm gonna mouth kiss you.
Oh wow!
Wow,
that you don't have
care.
To.
Okay.
You
know, I don't care, dude. I have a cold sore. Guess what? We're all gonna have a cold sore.
Gross. We still have tickets available for the bus.
For the bus, yeah. Wow. Where you get your
EDNBR.com.
Kel, we got anybody in the chat that you highlighted actually as a you know some potential? We'll take one from. Oh, just one from the chat. Yes.
Yes,
I mean, I guess. Well, actually, yes. No, because we're 24 games in and he's missed like eight already. So,
sure.
So no.
When
in that
he's
regard,
played. I think he's played well,
and I hope he comes back, man. Was it you that said you saw him getting some shots up at shoot around? I missed it.
Before the game, he was going through a shooting routine. I saw.
How did he look?
Pretty good. Wasn't going that hard. It was him and Colin Gillespie shooting.
Okay.
I saw that. So, I got like irrationally excited.
Yeah, were you
what
like,
Colin Gillespie
who is
saves
that?
The season?
Dude, Steady Gillespie?
Steady Gillespie. I forgot about Steady
Are
Gillespie.
You serious? Of course he's going to make
Solid
things right.
Colin.
Solid Colin? Dude, let's make this a every problem will be solved by Colin Gillespie. We all know it. So anytime that
Are the Nuggets
five,
a top five defense?
That's what like, we needed, on. A fifth point guard.
Fourth, but come on. Come on.
Look, he wasn't going hard. He wasn't going through anything. Like,
damn it. That's something he wanted.
Super rigid. Just getting up some shots. But I think it was a good sign. It's not like he's not putting any weight or like immobilizing his heel. So
there you go.
Hell yeah.
He's jumping
hell
on yeah. it.
I'm gonna run
he's walking on it.
It's not immobilized.
I think it's getting
anything
better.
Is possible?
All right, Kale, bring us up a new question then. Ray Vaughn says,
do you think Bruce Brown's high minute totals, particularly those of the position either at small forward spot or tasked to run the offense, are impacting the quality of his play? Is he being used too much to be effective in out of position?
Harrison, doesn't this happen every year that there's one player that's forced to play? Is he the new Will Barton?
Yes.
It's like Will Barton's a good shooting guard, but yes. We're going to play him at small forward.
Yes.
This does happen every year, and it's always a guy playing at small forward. It's always a smaller guard sliding down to small forward.
Malone couldn't be trusted to play Michael Porter early on, so they traded away every small forward and have not recouped one since.
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah. Oh, our vibes are so, we're down so bad.
I think Bruce Brown's had a fine year. I think he's had a good year. He's been pretty much what I expected. I don't know. I feel like he's shown off a lot of different things that he can do. Like, he can play the point in a pinch. He's obviously best at the two. But I think he's been fine at the three, you know, for some of the season. I don't think he's been, like, a disaster there.
Yeah.
You know, defensively, he's small to guard threes, which I think we might have thought a little bit heading into the season. I don't know. I feel like he's been pretty good regardless of the position he's played.
No.
Yeah.
I think it's just more like he's on guys that are bigger than him more often. I don't think it's like he's tired or taxed. He's like, he doesn't strike me. He seems like he has unlimited energy. I've never seen Bruce Brown looking gassed.
Yeah.
It's not that he's like, oh man, you know, it's just that more often than not, like there's a guy that, you know, he's running out at that just shoots over, doesn't even see him.
Yeah.
People getting around. He is like, people kind of get by him a little bit more than I expected also. I just, when I think about him playing defense, a lot of times it feels like he's kind of out of position. He's jumping over, somebody getting by him. Like, I kind of expected more out of his length than I think that we're getting.
Because you hear the power forwards, you think, oh, he's like PJ Tucker. He guards
big. I mean, so much of this is so confusing to me because
Bruce Brown's a really, really good defender. He is. On ball, off ball, getting steals, getting deflections. Like, he's a great defender. He's just like a great defender at the 1-2. I think he's an okay defender at the 3. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably it, right? This is just a like a physical thing. He's just too small.
Yeah, I do think he's probably in the wrong role often. Like again, you have a guy that's the duct tape role, which duct tape is good because it can do a little bit of everything, but it's not the right tool for every job.
Yeah,
I think that's him. It's like,
I would think
this.
That. Yeah, I mean, Jeff coming back. you know, probably had it been a game or two down the line, Jeff would have probably started in that position instead of Bruce Brown.
Interesting.
Because then you have, that's just like.
That's the more length lineup.
Yeah, and then we can slide Aaron Gordon back to the three.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Out of his natural position.
Just two forwards. I mean, I don't know. I think he's been had a very good year. And by the way,
I do too. I think he's been very good.
You have to look at some of the objectives. He's shooting 40% from the three, almost 41%.
That's great.
This year, second year in a row. And by the way, on double the volume, he's taking twice the number of attempts. The rest of his numbers are pretty much the same with his career averages. He's just playing more minutes. So to me, he's having a very good offensive season, mm-hmm. and he's been a good player. I do think he is in the unenviable position of being tasked to save things, where he's good at those things, but not good enough to save a team in those things.
Right.
And so it looks a little bit bad.
Right now, shit hits the fan. Bruce, go save us.
Yeah.
You know, go guard and dribble and do everything.
Right.
And I mean, that's tough. Can we talk about Bruce Brown's shot for a second, though? Because it's a thing of beauty.
It really is.
And like, it hits the ceiling at Ball Arena every single time.
And goes through like so beautifully. It's a thing
of beauty, though.
The last three he had where it was contested or whatever was the ultimate rainbow.
It's great.
String music, too. Like,
never hit rim on a made three.
Yeah. I love Bruce. Like, we're almost sounding like we're too low on Bruce.
No,
I think we're not.
Because we're just generally
great,
down.
No, Bruce is great.
I think it's honestly more about, I really hope that he was the like small forward in the five-man lineup that was like, oh, you're gonna win a championship with this, and I don't think that anymore.
That's
where I'm at, but he's still a championship piece. He's still a very good player. What do we have?
Miss Quill says, how could Calvin Booth realistically try to trade or try to trade or who excuse me who could Calvin Booth realistically try to trade for that would best help this team's title odds?
We're not at trade season yet. I mean, we're not at trade season yet.
Well, December 15th is coming up. 8 days.
So maybe then you'll start. I don't think the Nuggets are making a December 15th trade.
Although you never know. Alex Caruso?
Oh, my God. You keep floating this out there.
Could I interest you in that?
Cost you a lot. I mean, I will say it's almost easier to say the pieces that are likely to be Denver's trade assets. And, like, I still think that Michael Porter might be a guy that Denver, if they took calls, like, if somebody was calling them on, like, come on. Of course, they're going to listen to that.
How could you
not? They need more defense. I do think Bones Highland has the most value of any of the young players that, you know, if you're trying to swing an Alex Caruso type. Zeke Nagy is probably on that list as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's other players that I look at and I say, oh, that's for sure. I mean, Zeke Nagy and, you know, Peyton Watson, like those guys. But I don't know who else. I don't think it's going to be Aaron Gordon, Jokic, Murray.
No.
I mean, it's not going to be those guys. Yeah. Jeff Green, I don't even think, honestly.
What about Jay Crowder?
Oh, man.
Can I interest you in that?
Oh, man. Boss Man?
You just have to get used to a lot of all capital tweets in your timeline.
Well, those are generally from me.
Boss Man.
You guys can bond over that.
I love it. I'm looking for a friend.
I don't want Boss Man 99.
You don't? Okay.
You don't want a guy that like the nonsense he just pulled. Like you just don't want that. Like
I know.
I mean, like why
do you not want that? Maybe you want that. I don't know.
This is like when you date somebody that is like you cheat and you hook up with somebody. You're both cheating, and then like that person like they're gonna cheat on you.
Here's one thing I will say: it's an expiring contract.
Ooh,
expiring contract.
So you don't want to give up that much.
Yeah, but also it's just like it might be the guy that gets you a championship this year and you don't have to like do these guys expire? DeMarcus Cousins was a great ad last year and it
didn't, Austin Rivers the year before that,
it turned it into something more, but it's like, hey, if this doesn't work, it's just he's off the books. Yeah.
And so. Matt Ryan, no longer a free agent.
Man, we forgot
Tim
to talk about this.
Swooped in
Tim
on
Conley's
that quick.
Got his guys. Who else out there? Who's the next Tim Conley pick?
Who's this out is there? A great
DeMarcus
game.
Cousins.
Oh, you're so right. God damn it. I can't believe you're right. He'd be like, you know, Twin Towers didn't work, but what about
Tri-Towers? Tri-Towers. It was like that lineup that the Nuggets trotted out in the bubble where Bol Bol was the point guard.
Yeah, yeah, it is
the tallest line. And we kicked ass. That was a great game.
That's the key.
I will say, like, Devon Akunpersell's killing it in Europe right now.
Yeah, right. All right, let's get one more before we get out of here. Do we got one more? How many more do we have, actually, Kale?
Four.
Yeah, get one more, and we'll do an overtime for diehards.
Let's see here. This says let's from Sunny. Yeah, let's just assume for the moment that the Nuggets are not championship contenders. Mm. What do you guys want to see out of the team by the end of the year? For me, I just want to see the deep bench guys get minutes and show growth. I want old vets, DAJ, and Green to get 0 minutes.
Man, why Jeff
this
Green
is a
take
depressing
a trade?
Season.
But this is also a
depressing question.
And yeah, also, and I don't mean this in a rude way, Sonny, but this is actually a revealing of the fan mindset oftentimes of you're already moving on from the championship aspiration, so what do you want? And like, we're not there anymore, guys.
Yeah, like why?
We're not there anymore.
Right.
There is no more because now, like, again, you would say don't play any of the vets, play all the young guys if you were in that stage. You're not. You're trying to win a championship. Yep. And I'm sorry, Jeff Green getting thrown in with these to me is, like, kind of crazy. He has his flaws. I don't think that he's, like, above, you know, anything else. But I do think that he's a guy that is, like, really good and does things that are really important.
I agree.
He had some good defensive sequences last night in the clutch.
Yeah, that jam.
Yeah, that dope jam.
That yes, dunkle. I was feeling good about that. Yeah, it's right. Like, no, we are at championship or bust. Like, so we can't bust this quickly, this early, this yeah. You know, 20 games in. Like, they have to go for whatever they can. If we're feeling like the like we're not championship contenders, they need to make a trade. They need to make themselves championship contenders.
Yep.
Like, it's not, we're not like, oh man, hopefully it'll be better next, you know.
They
like,
can't go in that direction of the question.
No.
No matter what, they have to.
They have to. They have to put all their chips. Because if they don't, then Michael Malone is fired for sure. If they take a step back like that, they absolutely, with what seemingly is the perfect combination of players, aren't able to make it happen, then you're looking at it like, okay, well, we have to look elsewhere. Like, what is the problem? All the things that we always hear all the time about Michael Malone being the Mark Jackson of the Denver Nuggets, the guy that can start the rebuild and coach up players, but he can't be the championship coach. Like, if we're to that point, like, then that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and like, then it's like, okay, now we got to take a real look at the way this team is constructed. But we have Nikola, we have the 2-time MVP on this team.
You always have a chance, man.
We always have a chance. So we're not like just like, oh, let's just see if the young kids can play a little bit. Like,
by the way, the Nuggets are better than what they've shown. Like, this is the thing. They're good, but yeah. They're in a little rut, but they're a good team, and I think brighter days are ahead. And by the way, what do you want to see? At this stage, there is only one thing. If you don't get a championship, you want to see the team get closer to that. And not from a development of young guy standpoint. That's part of it. But more than anything, it's just from a toughening up and being better prepared, getting better defensively, getting better chemistry and continuity together, refining the identity of who you are with the collection of players you have. Not just like, oh, let's see what Peyton Watson has.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Right now, I don't think the Nuggets look like a championship team at this current moment, on this day.
I think that there's like two teams that I feel like look like championship contenders. It's like the Boston Celtics and like maybe the Milwaukee Bucks.
Maybe the Milwaukee Bucks.
And if the Nuggets get through this home heavy stretch coming up into January and they still look like the team they are right now, you need to make a significant move, in my opinion. You need to do something significant because right now they're not a championship team.
Right. That does it, guys. We do have some extra questions, and we've been wanting to do this, you know, with Diehards. That's our new membership. Adding a little bit extra content, including our great podcast. So we have three more questions, I believe, Kale. We're going to end this show. We're going to go behind the paywall.
See you later,
we're
gonna Die-easies.
Die-easies. But Diehards, we're going to answer more, do more of this roundtable discussion, including one I have. So we actually have a fourth one, which is just...
Let's juice the mailbag.
Let's juice it again. Nuggets who you are certain are a fit
on
the championship
question.
Team. Ooh. No questions asked. We'll do that on the other side. Hit that like button. We'll see everybody behind the paywall.